The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All from Maracanada, the Barrage, Bar Canada here at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Banged up on New Year's Eve and back. You're right. You recovered quickly, huh? Yeah. He's trying to hit his mic.
Three times. Yeah, it was good, man. That was good. Over in a little bit of Drew's area over there in Southern California on Sunday night. Partied there and then drove back here yesterday.
Look at you.
A little later yesterday than I thought I was going to be hitting the road, but yeah.
Were you on the beach like Drew or not quite the beach?
Close to it, yeah. There was like some storms over there. It was weird this weekend.
You know, it rains in Southern California.
Yeah, but they're all like, well, there was like storm surge and stuff people were worried about.
Storm surge.
Like, I feel like I was in Florida again with hurricanes.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jay Buckley, speaking of a Giants win totals, we're sweating an all under 5.5 at plus 280. How did the Eagles botch this for me? I know, man. I know. Mike Alvarez, you have a good shot of the Ravens playing week 18 like it's a preseason game, which means they're going to try to win by any means necessary. Let me just say this, Mike.
I pulled on to hope for that.
Let me tell you, I feel you on this. And yesterday, Kelly, you weren't here for guessing lines, but the four games I love, because we should really always do this on a Tuesday if you missed guessing lines, the four games I landed on, which is way more than I thought I would in a week 18, and I already bet these. I thought the Raiders was too short against the Broncos. Bet them at 2.5. I thought that the Bears I'll tell you what I got in my pocket if I took plus 3 or plus 3.5 now, which obviously makes a huge difference, but now I'm getting all confused. But I thought the Bears against the Packers, like, I think the Bears are really good, and I think I want to talk to Mike Sando about this a little later, about what the Bears are going to do with the Justin Fields story. But I got the Bears yesterday. Oh, the Bears one wasn't up. That was the one I didn't get. So I got the Raiders minus 2.5, the Dolphins plus 3 against the Bills. I couldn't believe that line, even with the Dolphins injuries. And then I took the Ravens plus 4. So the three I have in pocket, Raiders minus 2.5, Dolphins plus 3, Ravens plus 4, where I was betting didn't have the Bears lineup. I was hoping for a 3.5. But I think the Ravens, like, this is, again, what Drew was saying, you know, just because you're a must win doesn't mean you must cover. And I would just argue, I would just bring up the Dr. Bob line, which is, if you're in a must win situation, it means you must not be that good. And I have a feeling the Ravens come out, and even without their starters playing for much of this, get the job done against the Steelers. At least I took the points.
I think there's a good chance. Yeah. I think there's a good chance. And that preseason line, it's a way to look at it for sure. Well, I mean, people, all those guys.
Yeah, people immediately go to, well, they have to play for something they don't. So there's your answer. If it were that simple.
Right, yeah. We'd be all be cleaning up on
the team. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some college football after the just amazing National Invitational semifinals last night. Pete Futak joins us from collegefootballnews.com. Pedro, how you doing, man?
You're talking about the NFL Week 18. If you use the word opt-out, then you're basically talking this bowl season in a lot of ways for some of these teams. It's funny. I like your national little shot in there for the National Invitational. Your Florida State team lost in the worst bowl game. Worst bowl loss in history of college football.
Pete, really? Are we going to start with this? They had 100 guys out. Well, let's just stop.
The National Invitation.
It is the National Invitation semifinals. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 100 more. It is that. It was great. Don't get me wrong. But the point of it is, and I use UW as an example, like, the market completely underrates them week after week after week, gives them no respect in any big game, and they keep getting it done. The point is, Pete, you just have to settle this on the field because no one knows a damn thing. Don't you agree with that?
No, not at all.
Okay.
To a point, you kind of do if you see these teams throughout the Look, I get what you're saying. I'm the ultimate one who keeps missing on Washington. Because if you watch, again, the thing about Washington is, if you've seen them all year, there's parts to their game, and you saw it last night. They pitched a near perfect game and almost lost. Like, it's kind of hard to reel. And this is where, going forward, I'm going to do it again, because I actually did. I missed everything on Washington. And I got everything right this year on Michigan. Washington's just one of those teams that, like, they're just good enough to always keep winning, and they kind of do stuff to make it too close. You know, like, they should have destroyed Stanford. They should have destroyed Arizona State. There are all these teams that they really struggled against that should have been 40-point blowouts, and they just weren't. So, like, even, again, like, last night's game, Penix goes for 430. They can have total dominance over the game. Texas basically had one of its worst performances of the year. That was not, and we thought, like, it's almost like Michigan of last year against TCU. Texas, it was almost like the stage was too big for Texas in a weird way, because they just did not play their game, and they blew it at the end. They still almost pulled that thing out. So I get it. I think Michigan, I think they roll. This Michigan team is just, it's the team of the year. They just are. That the national championship was played in Pasadena. I will be stunned if Michigan doesn't. And Michigan should have won that easier. They screwed up. That was not a team that did that all year. I will be stunned if Michigan doesn't win this relatively handily.
I saw you guessed that line at 7.5 yesterday. Am I correct in that?
Yeah.
So
I am stunned at 4. I am honestly, first of all, there's the Michigan bump. And if you guys know lines better than I do, even the entire Michigan nation, there's always that Saturday morning, last second half point Michigan. You know, the Michigan world all wakes up and in the morning, and they all hammer their team because, I'm going to watch my team today, and they're all going to hammer it. I guarantee you, especially if Dylan Johnson really is banged up and can't go, that if you care, if you actually are in this and really think Michigan's going to win, jump at 4, because that is going to go up as soon as the Michigan fan base starts betting on this.
I took the approach yesterday with UW where I was like, again, when Washington played Oregon, they were 9-10 point dogs. A lot of people didn't give them a chance. They said, they're not nearly as good as Oregon. Yesterday, although the line didn't reflect the market, anecdotally here, everybody I heard was on Alabama. Everybody. They all were on Alabama. They knew the final score. In the first game against Michigan, and then in the game with UW, again, they're 4.5 point dogs against Texas, and I took the approach, I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch Penix play against this defense for one drive, and it was so apparent so quickly. I was like, oh, he's unfazed. He is every bit as good as he's always been. I'm going to take the same approach with Michigan, and I ask you this very sincerely. You're really super confident on Michigan. What is it about Michigan Yep. that will be able to stifle him and this offense in a way that no one else has been able to?
That defense is the real deal. And I will say that, no one knows anything. I thought Iowa was going to Iowa yesterday and take Tennessee. Nope. And I think Texas was my big thought. Like, I thought Texas, if it played like it did all year, should have rolled. Nope. Like you said, but I get Michigan. My actual on-site call was Michigan was going to win 27-23. And it was 27-23. They are ultra consistent. They had the screw ups with the fumbles and they weren't quite right, but they just are the most methodical team I can remember. They're just unfazed. It's just the lines are great. I mean, this is there's no real weakness on this team except for last night. They couldn't seem to get their special teams right, but they don't commit penalties. They don't get flagged. That they are methodical in how they drive. Their play calling has been excellent. They're just razor sharp, and how they get to Penix and how they do this is, they stopped the running game for Washington, which also has to be a part of this to mix it up. Washington's not going to run at all. And I love the internet last night. Speaking of the no one knows everything, everyone who was on Alabama was dogging Jalen Milroe and dogging the passing game against him. Alabama ran, nobody ran more than 40 times this year on Michigan. Alabama did. That was the best rushing performance by anybody this year against Michigan. And it still didn't get the job done. So I think the one key this year has been that the Washington offensive line has been great. This offense is amazing at getting the ball out of Penix's hands. And I just think this becomes the part where it's like stuff becomes real. And my comp becomes 2014, where Oregon, that was the most confident team I'd ever seen when they beat Florida State in that Rose Bowl. They got to the national championship, and also it's like, wow, we're here. And it was like too big. I do not think this moment's too big for Michigan.
All right. You're very strong on it. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to wait to see Penix play a drive, and then I'm going to jump in. You might be right. We shall see. Last thing, Pete, 45 seconds after that performance by Penix, after his performance all year, he was great at Indiana too. Penix, yep. Caleb, we saw what's the kid's name? Miller Moss perform well for USC in his first game. I don't know how great Caleb Williams is after seeing that. And then, of course, Jaden Daniels. Who would you, if you're a quarterback needy GM in the NFL, Pete Futak GM, who do you pick of those three?
Drake May. I mean, that's the, yeah. I'm a Chicago. I live in Chicago. My world are the Bears when it comes to the people I know. I don't care about the Bears. I don't know on this one because there's so many. How about if Shedeur Sanders comes out? Or how about like keep going with all the different parts of this? I think Penix is great. I certainly think Drake May is great. I certainly think Bo Nix is great. I mean, keep on going. I'm a believer that out of all these, yes, you don't want to be the person that misses on Caleb Williams. But this one, there's not another position guy who's that great. So if you're the Bears, I say you take the guy at the one and you see how you play it out in camp and then trade one of them from there.
Wow. And if I'm another team that needs a quarterback, I call the Bears and I said, give me Justin Fields now. Pete, thank you. Appreciate exactly. it, man.
Thank you.
Pete Futak, everybody. FIUTAK, Pete Futak on Twitter, collegefootballnews.com. College basketball next with Jim Root.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every NFL or bowl game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. We're always improving our betting splits, by the way. Recently added soccer betting splits from around the world. Kelly loves those.
That's right. If you want to bet in the Coppa Italia today, Gil, you could get AS Roma at minus 250 or Cremonese at plus 750.
Or who at what?
Cremonese.
Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com/splits. We should have a feature where you just pronounce the stuff.
It's my new favorite. It's my new favorite thing. Now that we get to promote the soccer odds, every time you get to that line, I'm like, let me get to DraftKings real quick. Who's playing today and what league? And I'll get a line for you.
Let us resolve that in 2024, all of my WTA women's tennis plays, you give them out.
Hey, you got it, Chief.
Chief. Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. All right, we get tweets at beating the book. Bill Hooker, I sure hope you're correct, Gil, about the Ravens plus four. I have the Steelers over 9.5 wins plus 145, going for a middle with the Ravens plus four. Blue Hen Bill, I think the whole construct of the NFC playoffs changed drastically on the ridiculous call in Dallas, possibly affected the positioning of at least four, possibly more teams. Belichick is right. Everything should be reviewable. Johnny Ringo, there it is. The old Pete is back. The SEC being gone must have awoken the beast. I gotta like edit some of these here. Trip Tepper, in fairness to Pete, the look ahead line for the hypothetical Michigan UW matchup was Wolverines minus 6.5 and minus 7. So he's guessing Michigan minus 7.5 isn't outlandish. No, not at all. But it should be pointed out that after that game last night, he guessed that line.
I was so thinking about Trip Tepper this weekend. I was thinking about it when I saw that Dave Tepper video. I'm like, thank God Trip has distanced himself from this man.
And then Altus legend, listening to Pete has me convinced. Washington money line huge, he said. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some college hoops, shall we? One of the three gentlemen from the three-man weave outfit. You can follow them, all their picks at 3MW_CBB. It's James Patrick Root who joins us. Jim Root, how you doing, Jim?
I'm good. Welcoming in 2024. We're finally getting the conference play in college hoops. So bigger, better slates coming up. I'm excited.
Conference play begins today. Does it change anything about your handicapping?
Yes. I do a lot of looking back at what I would have made the line in the preseason, because I think teams in the non-conference can kind of get in a rut and maybe just things don't go right, or they're cold shooting, or they get injuries and they just start to sink a little bit. But then with conference play being a new year, a new season for them, they can revert back to maybe a closer to preseason expectations. So a team that really struggled could maybe trend back up, or a team that just caught fire could maybe come back down to earth a little bit. So I think there's an opportunity in that, where maybe the team isn't exactly what they've been through the non-conference portion, and when we see a little bit of a different version in league play.
Okay, before we get to your thoughts on plays today, can I do something that I'm just going to bore you, Kai and Matt? I'm going to do this relentlessly as the college basketball season continues. But obviously, I have two futures tickets. Actually, I have a third now. I have two futures tickets to win it all, BYU and Alabama, at really long odds. I also have BYU to get to the Final Four. But let me just go through some rating systems here. Ken Palm, BYU third, Bama fifth. Is it how do you pronounce it? Bartorvik? Is that how it's pronounced? Bama number three, BYU five. Haslametrics, BYU two, Bama six. Team rankings, BYU four, Bama five. You may sense a pattern here, Jim. Net rankings, which the committee uses, BYU two, Bama five. Sports Reference, BYU three, Bama five. Obviously, Houston, Purdue, and Arizona, the other three in that mix, typically. You get the idea. And then we'll go to the AP now. BYU 12, Bama not in the top 25. Now I ask you, sir, because I'm sitting on those two teams, where does the AP have it, right or wrong?
Well, I think AP is doing a little bit more resume-based type stuff. So based on who have they beaten, win-loss record matters, like Alabama's taken five losses because they've lost a bunch of close games against really good teams. So I would guess seeding would have these teams a little bit lower than where they are in the advanced projections as well. But predictively, which a lot of those rankings are that you're talking, they reflect that both those teams have been smoking bad competition. And BYU's been ridiculous as a favorite, especially at home against the spread this year. Like minus 20, boom, they win by 30 to 40. It's like clockwork. And that kind of outperformance against projection has gotten them all the way up to where they are in those analytical rankings. Now, Gil, I share a very long shot BYU ticket as well.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that those
Let's
predictive
go.
Rankings are. Yeah, exactly. I hope those are spot on. And that's how things come to bear in the postseason. And they actually are a top five team. Bama's trickier because, yeah, they've played a ton of really good teams. The schedule's been a crazy gauntlet from Nate Oates, and they haven't quite pulled them out, but they've been close with a lot of those teams. And then whenever they get home and they play a mid-major team, they win by 35. Part of that's their tempo, and given a lot of possessions, that's how things go. But I believe they're probably closer to 10-ish. I'm not fully sold Alabama's top five, but the upside is there. They just need to figure out the defensive end of the floor. The best Oates teams are really good on defense, and this one's not right now. So we're just going to try to see how that goes in conference play, and if you can kind of plug some gaps against top-shelf competition.
Yeah. Let me just say this, because this is the beauty of college basketball, too. And I'm glad you're on BYU as well. So we might have like stupid great numbers, but the numbers are still great, right? Like people can go out right now, get Bama 35 to one. They get BYU 45 to one. It doesn't have to be these two teams, but that's the prism through which I'm betting here. But others might have a team that they love. College basketball futures, like you can get great numbers deep into February. Final Four, Bama 8-1, BYU 11-1. Would you recommend any of those bets still? Like if someone was like, "I, you know what, I'm buying what you're selling." Do you like those numbers still?
I certainly like the BYU Final Four one. I think there's a chance at the Final Four level, if they get all the way there, there's some athleticism concerns, but they're arguably the best shooting team in the country. Like they can really fill it up. They've got size, they've got depth. Last couple of weeks they've been playing without their best big man, Fuseni Traore. They've just got all the pieces. And if they start to roll through Big 12, and maybe not roll through, no one's going to roll through that league, but if they start proving what the predictive rankings say, and you know they go 12-6 against a really good Big 12 schedule or whatever it ends up being, people are going to rush to the counter and be like, oh, wait, yeah, maybe they are actually this top five team. There's just some skepticism about who they've beaten, where they've beaten them so far. But if it starts to show in Big 12 play that it's all real, I think those numbers are great, and I just believe in that team. They've got guards, big men, shooting. Like it's a really good squad.
All right, you have three picks today. Let's get into it. What do you got?
Yep, all three conference play here. Nothing on the extra board, Gil. It's small today, and I just couldn't find one I wanted to throw out there.
That's not allowed.
I know. I mean, yeah, I'll be barred from returning because of that. We're starting with Wake Forest, a slight road favorite, 623 on the betting board. They're headed to Boston College. This is about Wake Forest for me. Still a little bit undervalued in the market since they got Efton Reed eligible. They are 5-0 against the spread. They just absolutely smoked Virginia Tech at home, won by 20. The lead never dipped below 20 in the second half. And that just kind of displays the dominance that this team has. Against BC, you've got to be able to at least limit Quentin Post, their big, versatile center who can score in the post, step out and hit threes. And that's what Reed does. The Gonzaga, LSU, two-time transfer that got eligible. He's just given them a presence inside on both ends of the floor. So I'm riding Wake Forest minus 1.5. Then two home teams, short favorites in league play. Murray State, 628 on the betting board, minus 4. Over the last five seasons, they're a 63% ATS team at home. It's a really, really good home crowd. They've already gotten a big win at home in league play against Bradley, who I would argue is actually better than Murray State. And then the other end, UIC has the number one 3-point percentage defense in the country. And I think that's an aberration. I think they're going to start to see some real regression in league play. That's one of those teams where I think they've overperformed in non-conference and they start to come back to earth in league play. So I'll take Murray State minus 4 there at home. And then late night, was discussing with the production team right before as we got on air, a big, big one in the Mountain West, Colorado State, taking them minus 3.5 against New Mexico. New Mexico's been terrific in non-conference, but they've had these, it's almost necessitated Donovan Dent stepping up as their best guard. Now they're going to have Jalen House and Jamal Mashburn back in there. I think it might mess with them a little bit. And Colorado State's got some real depth now back with Jalen Lake joining off the bench last game against a non-D1 team. They needed the guard depth, and they've got the best player on the floor in Isaiah Stevens. So I will ride Colorado State at home there, minus 3.5.
All right. A three pack from Jim Rudin. Again, if you missed any of that, we'll have it on our VSiN.com/picks page, or they will have it. The three man weave crew, that is, at 3MW_CBB. By the way, I have BYU to make the Final Four at 12-1 to clarify. They are still available at 11-1, right almost at that number itself. Jim, enjoy. Good luck with all the bets, man.
Yeah, let's go BYU. I've got them preseason 400-1, Gil. So let's go Cougars.
That's better than me. I knew he would totally trump mine. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. 400.
Thanks, guys.
400-1. I thought mine was good. We're coming back. Mike Sando, who writes for The Athletic and is a AP voter for all of the NFL awards. We pick his brain next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, and they'll get the NBA League Pass for the rest of the season. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D downtown Las Vegas. I want to shout out Will Hill again. Will Hill has his podcast back. It's called Shoulda Bet More. Which I love.
Love it. Yep, love it.
Love from Will. And he said, hey, Gil, I had Mike Sando on. I'm like, Sando? Oh, my God, that's such a great idea. We got to get him on. Mike and I met. Mike Sando, by the way, who writes for The Athletic. He's a Hall of Fame selector. He's a AP voter, who votes on all the NFL awards. I think we met back at the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference years ago, if I'm guessing correctly. He joins us now, primarily from The Athletic. How you doing, Mike? At Sando NFL, by the way, on the Twitter machine. How you doing, man?
Hey, I am doing great. Coming off of a fantasy league championship in which my Travis Kelce went toe to toe with Christian McCaffrey in the final week. What a glorious finish it was.
Do you go around and do you say to your wife, what's it like being married to a fantasy football champion? Do you do that a bunch of that?
Well, it's funny. I've been in this league with friends for like 10 years and I always do well. I'd never won the thing. You know, here I am covering a league.
Yeah.
And I'm like second, you know, fourth, third. And so I was nervous. Believe me, I was nervous this last week because I was at the way by far the best team. But you know how it is by the end of the year, you're suddenly missing three guys, you know? And so any given Sunday, but yeah, Kelce was the fourth overall pick for me. And I ended up having three other tight ends that were probably better this year.
Monkeys off your back, Mike. They can never take it away from you. Fantasy champ.
It's fun.
Okay, before we get to your awards thoughts, because you are an actual voter, one of 50 on all of these, I want to get a couple thoughts. One, we were just talking about Michael Penix last night for UW. Chicago has the number one pick in the NFL draft by way of the Bryce Young trade. I'm a Washington fan. They're either going to end up with two or three, assuming they lose here, to Dallas. They could very well be in need of a quarterback. What are the Bears? If you're reading the tea leaves right now, where do the Bears stand on Justin Fields? What are they going to do?
I think under normal circumstances, they would be, you know, fairly excited and probably, you know, signing up for more in the absence of having a better option, right? That would typically be where you would be at, but that's not where they're at. I mean, they have the number one pick in the draft, and there's quarterbacks that seem to be worthy of that. I don't see any way they can pass that up. If you were Ryan Poles, you know, you're going to, you just don't get that many swings to get your quarterback, and he hasn't gotten his quarterback. He inherited Justin Fields. I think he was happy to inherit him. But how could you double down, right? I mean, I feel like right now, to stay in a gambling realm, you know, do you want to just accept the fact that you have, are you going to stand on 16, you know, and hope you get a 5 or a 4? That's kind of where you're at, I feel like. The hand may not be that bad, but do you just want to settle for having a 17? Let's just say that.
Wow. Because right?
Or do you have the chance of someone else who you think is two face cards coming up, and you get a chance to put your stamp on it? I don't know how you pass that up.
That is interesting, because if I'm Washington, I'm like, I get on the phone the next minute. I'd be like, how do we get this guy from you? So it's interesting.
Well, yeah, it is. I just think you have to look at the whole body of work. I would not be getting overly excited about the last 4 games or whatever, right? Whatever it is, you can't do that. You have to look at the whole body of work and say, what is our opportunity? Now, if your evaluation of the guys coming out isn't good, then that's a different thing. But I think people feel like, you know, certainly with Caleb Williams, maybe with a couple others, that you have a real opportunity.
It's going to be
even go better. And Justin Fields will have value. It's just nothing personal to him. I think they've been, you know, happy with the way he's worked at it. And there's definitely has been some improvement, too.
Going to be fascinating to see what happens there. That'll obviously start the draft off with that decision. Okay. The team that no one wants to play in the playoffs in the NFC and in the AFC are.
Yeah. So when I do this, I'm not counting the ones at the top. No one wants to play Baltimore, right? We're not going to do that. I would say in the AFC, it's Cleveland and Buffalo. I just think that Buffalo, you know, obviously is a really good team that has had some weird stuff happen, but they would be difficult. And then Cleveland, to me, you know, they won at Baltimore. They got a house money feel to them with a great defense. You know, I think those are two teams there. In the NFC, as you look a little bit further down, I think it's probably clearly the Rams, another team that, you know, has a really good quarterback, you know, has a good coach, has a decent defense, a really bad special teams that's probably going to do them in. That's why they lost at Baltimore. They gave a punt return touchdown. But I think that's a team that can run the ball, can throw the ball, and has some real energy, you know, with their young players.
Okay, let us go to the awards. 1 week left in the season, obviously. We're not locking you into your vote here, Mike, but to the extent that you're willing to share, let's talk MVP. Who would you vote for today?
It's super difficult. I'm not a literal MVP where you say it has to be the most valuable, has to be a quarterback. I'm not that. If we did that, when you have the best man in your wedding, you couldn't have your best friend. You'd have to find the best man in the whole world to stand there next to you. That's not what it is. Somebody can have a great season and not be the quote unquote most valuable because they were the quarterback. That being said, I don't really see that this year. I know Lamar Jackson's the big favorite, and maybe that's where it's at. Maybe it's who's hot on a great team over the last month, because there's really no one I'm comfortable with that has just carried their team every week offensively this season, right? So Brock Purdy, you could say, has the best stats, but we sort of know the context of that Jimmy Garoppolo had great stats too, or really good ones, and there's other factors there. Lamar is a huge part of an offense that isn't the reason why they win week to week, right? But he's been great here against really good teams. They have a 4-0 record against division leaders. winning by 25 points a game. He has 11 touchdowns, one interceptions in those. So I might lean that way with him, even though I'm fully aware statistically he hasn't really had that season.
And so, your vote might be.
Oh, it might be Lamar right now, but
okay.
But I would feel like if it is, it's, you know, I don't know that I can just defend it statistically because I do believe they win the games on defense. But yeah. This stretch down, you know, these last couple games are a big deal. You know, and how he played the other day is a huge deal. So
yeah,
I don't really feel great about it. I think I'm going to have to think it through. I felt like Stafford was really on the rise, and they barely won. You know, but I think Stafford's a really good one because. You know, of where their team was expected to be, the fact that when you combine their defense and special teams together, it's a bottom five unit, and it's really hard to win like that. And so, you know, I felt that, but after this last week, when Lamar goes 18 of 21 for 321 yards and five touchdowns, and they've had, in the context of this great team record, I mean, I think you have to take that into consideration too.
All right, let's do rapid fire. Coach of the year, your thoughts.
Oh, I might have to go with Kevin Stefanski at this point. You know, I was on John Harbaugh midseason, and he's still in it for me because I think they, from where they were at a year ago with Lamar being unhappy and we're putting in a new offense, they've had tons of injuries. He would normally get it, but man, this Stefanski story with Cleveland, I'd probably lean towards him right now, just the way they've been able to, you know, have four quarterbacks start at least two games. Don't think that's ever happened.
It's amazing.
And beating some really good teams. It's a really great story. So he's probably the leader for me.
Offensive rookie of the year. Is it CJ Stroud or Puka Nacua, who's four catches and 30 yards shy of breaking both rookie records for receptions and receiving yards?
It's probably Puka Nacua for me. I think that if CJ Stroud hadn't missed some time, but yeah, I've leaned towards Puka Nacua after CJ Stroud was out, but we don't have to make a decision today.
No.
And I haven't fully sat down and just, you know, digested the whole thing. I'll study, I'll put in my work, but what Puka Nacua has done from day one, I mean, from day one, he's been a dominant receiver, for a team that's been winning. So, and wasn't expected to win. So I think he's had a great year, like, not just a Pro Bowl year, but maybe an All Pro type year.
That put a little smile on my face right there. Okay, real quick, two more. Defensive rookie of the year. Who would you go with there?
Oh, that's a great question. I need to look at that one. Okay. If I would have known you were going to ask me defensive rookie of the year, I need to look at it and study it.
That's fair. Okay, and then the one that a lot of people are so super confused about, comeback player of the year. Yeah. Are you a Damar Hamlin guy or someone else?
I think so. You know, it is vaguely defined, right? There's not a but to me, just the fact that he made it back, I think even, you know, it's been a while since he made it back. So the story, we've had time to digest it, but just think about that. You know, if we were 10 years from now and we were looking backwards and we said, hey, there was a player who died on the field. And if you remember the gravity of that situation, come back and play, is truly amazing. So I think it's hard to beat that comeback story.
Can't argue with that. Mike, pleasure seeing you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mike Sando at Sando NFL, all his work at The Athletic, and a real life voter, one of 50 for all these awards. Coming back with more NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Why don't you? Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. You look like a marshmallow. Over and over. That was adorable. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D on a Numbers Game. Can we review that last segment just
sure,
for a second?
Yeah.
Mike Sando, by the way. And again, shout out to Will Hill for popping the idea back. By the way, Will Hill's podcast again called Shoulda Bet More. Will Hill, who is a prominent member of the Megapod, and of course the Bear Bets podcast with Chris Felica. Sando on. I've known Sando for years, and he is one of the 50 voters, one of the AP voters. Aaron Schatz being another. Aaron Schatz will be on the show tomorrow. So we'll pick his brain. It's his annual postseason, if you will, appearance on the show. And we'll get his thoughts on awards. But again, these are one guy today, one guy tomorrow. They represent, you know, there it is, 4%, the two of them together, of the entire voting body of these awards. And Sando's answers were interesting in every way. One that, first of all, let's go from back forward. He's a Hamlin guy in this award.
Mm-hmm.
Died on the field, and that's all he needed to know. He took the position that I did last offseason, which is, hey, no one else can be the comeback player of the year. Damar Hamlin currently minus 140. Joe Flacco, even money. And again, the Aaron Schatz point on this, I think, is the best one, which is it's 1-2-3 for comeback player of the year. It's not 1-5. It's 1-2-3. You get to vote on your first, second, and third. Hamlin is likely to be your number one or not on your ballot at all, because every voter will have his or her own criteria on this. So for Sando, it's Hamlin. The last time we spoke to Schatz, it's not Hamlin at all on his ballot. It'll probably be someone who, by performance on the field this year, like a Flacco, will determine it. But we'll talk to Schatz tomorrow. The other one that was interesting, well, there's two were interesting. One, MVP, while he said he probably will vote for Lamar Jackson, the notion that he was strongly considering Matthew Stafford is fascinating, right? Yeah. This reminds me of the Brandon Crawford thing.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy in San Francisco. Hey, Gil.
No, it totally
Brandon
does,
Crawford's
yes.
MVP, right? What are you talking about? He's 100-1 in my betting brain. He ends up finishing fourth. Here's Sando, representing 2% of the voters, who's like, yeah, Stafford maybe.
You know, who's sixth in the league in passing yards, 24 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
But what's interesting about his thought process was, and if you read into it, Lamar Jackson playing with a defense that is great. Stafford has had, in his viewpoint, more direct impact on the Rams' success. And then the other one.
And the offense having to carry that whole thing,
correct.
Right, as compared to the Ravens having it good on all three sides.
But how about the offensive rookie of the year response? He said you can't hold him to it because there's one more week.
Yeah.
But he said Puka. I don't know.
Mean, look, if Puka wins, will I be surprised? Yes. I won't be shocked, though.
Nor should anybody.
Like, you've been documenting it week after week. Like, where this guy's numbers stack up.
He's about to set records with a head coach and quarterback who actively tried to not let him get it. Sorry. Get into that a little. Seriously.
I mean, Stroud's been incredible.
Stroud's been awesome.
It's going to be not surprising at all if he walks away with this thing. Yeah, because he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
Same thing with MVP, right? I think that I think Sando's comments, though, I'm going to sprinkle a little money on McCaffrey, probably.
On MVP?
Yeah, just at these ridiculous odds. Now, I never did, like, last week when we were talking about it, 2 weeks ago when we were talking about it.
McCaffrey, the favorite for offensive player.
There's going to be so much conversation of, like, which quarterback, and, like, I have a feeling that you're going to get like a McCaffrey Tyreek that ends up like 2-3 on a lot of people's ballots, that all it takes is a few guys to put in one and he's right up there at the end of the day with the total points.
That's still my favorite scenario, is the Kelly Bidlin McCaffrey wins MVP because he'll get the most second
the
and thirds
totals,
and he'll win offensive player of the year. That's right, because he'll get all the number ones for that.
Right, he'll get all the ones there.
I said this a few weeks ago, and this is a guy who has the Tyreek MVP ticket, that Tyreek would be the odd man out in the end. And in the end it is, because first of all, his play fell off. He had injuries too.
Yeah.
He dropped big passes. Well, 2 weeks ago, he dropped a big one, but he dropped another one this week. But the bottom line is, like, if you look at stats now, I think I was looking at this yesterday, CeeDee Lamb has like,
yeah, I mean, boy, did he catch up quick.
I want to say it's like, I want to get exact, but it's like 56 yards fewer on 10. So he's got 10 more catches, I believe, than Tyreek. Well,
he has 10 more catches,
56 fewer yards. Yeah. And
now one more game played
and like two fewer touchdowns. But it's like, it's super comparable.
Yes, it is.
So how special was Tyreek after all, if CeeDee Lamb is trumping him on some of these?
You just like, you look at this list. Like, I just pulled up that list. It's,
yeah.
Okay. Tyreek, CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua. If I just get back to it, Puka Nacua is, it's so underappreciated because it, if really he was a first round draft pick, no one would, like, everyone would talk about him.
And if Stroud wasn't playing to the level that he is, like, yeah. That is, it's fair. It's like fair. Stroud's incredible. He's elevated this entire team. We've talked about it all year. But yeah, if he was doing like Bryce Young things, this would be a Puka Nacua runaway right now.
It's so true. Anyway, that's fascinating to get it right from a voter's mouth.
You are absolutely right with the Brandon Crawford, Matthew Stafford.
Yes.
Like, that is, it's that's, one I've never, I haven't Crawford. Even thought about Stafford, like, in weeks and weeks in this market.
But it shows you, like, the vote, every voter has his or her own way of thinking it through. What was the Aaron Schatz line about why he has Dan Campbell Coach of the Year? And we heard Sando say he's got Stefanski now. Maybe it's changed for Schatz. I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow. What was his thought on Campbell? He's the best combination of old school football and newfangled analytics. That's how Aaron Schatz decided to vote on it.
Yeah.
Or at least he did last time when he was there at the quarter poll. So that's why we are handicapping voters. We are not handicapping the actual game.
Exactly. Handicapping voters. And hey, it can lead to some great wins and bets. That's for sure. But man, you never know how this is going to go.
All right. So once again, the bets that I have in pocket for the NFL, Raiders minus 2.5, Dolphins plus 3, Ravens plus 4. I do not have a Bears bet yet in that game.
Man, you went firing yesterday. All right.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I was surprised by that because I didn't expect that to be the case. Bears are plus 3.
What
it's teetering. It's plus 3 reduced juice, so I'm waiting for a 3.5.
What guess were you most off on? The Bills Dolphins?
Bills Dolphins shocked me the most.
What would you set that at?
I think Pittsburgh Baltimore I was the most off of, but I knew I'd get some really way off guesses on week 18. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I can see why. That was the one where I was like, I guessed Miami minus 2.5 because of the injuries.
Yeah, yep.
And it was Buffalo minus 3. By the way, some Bills fan was murdering me on Twitter yesterday. Like, Gil's always hated the Bills. He's always under market for 4 years. I'm like, I have the Niners to beat them in an exacta. Like, yeah, not exactly.
I mean, I like the Bills this week, but man, I can't. When I saw that number, I was like, man, I was ready to bet this game pretty big on the Bills side, and I can't do that with this number.
No, I was shocked by that number.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised too. I thought it was going to be like a pick-em. I wasn't as far away as far as you were on that. On the Dolphins, I thought it'd be like a pick-em.
And I get it. The Dolphins have tons of injuries, and it's terrible. If you're a Dolphins fan or a Dolphins ticket holder of any kind in a futures play, like, it just sucks with the injuries. They're getting decimated on defense.
On the Buffalo side, though, like, they didn't come away unscathed, right? Josh Allen dealing with a stinger like that. I mean, if Josh Allen... What do we always see out of Josh Allen in must-win games? It's him running the ball far more. If he's limited because of a stinger in his neck, like, that's a serious issue.
And the Bills have season-ending injuries all year on defense. I'm not going to diminish that, right? Tre'Davious out for the year. Just one of them. So it's you know, and of course, Milano out for the year. So they've been decimated by injuries too. I'm not diminishing that. I'm just saying, based on Buffalo's performance this past week against New England, I was shocked that it was Buffalo minus 3 because they skated in that game. Skate. I mean, yep. So it's going to be fascinating. Buffalo is in that rare position where they can win the division and be crazy. Number 2,
yeah.
Or they could be knocked out entirely.
It's insane.
win the division and be the second seed or not make the postseason at all.
We've extended these playoffs. We've extended it to 7 teams, and you're still in that situation. It's incredible.
If the Bills beat the Dolphins, they'll be the second seed and the division winner. If the Dolphins beat the Bills, Bills would need either a Steelers or Jaguars loss or a tie between the Texans and Colts to still secure a wild card berth.
Now, can I be like everybody else on, like, you know, how they were with the college football playoff where it's like, Buffalo, please win so I don't have to watch like some other trash AFC team sneak in ahead of them and get blown out like in the playoffs. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy.
You're going to be that guy?
I'm going to jump the other side of the fence completely.
That's the last game this weekend. That's the Sunday night game this week. Obviously, Steelers, Ravens, and Jags, Texans kick it off on, excuse me, not Jags, Texans, Colts, Texans kick it off on Saturday. The rest, Sunday daytime. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.